All right, blessed Sunday, everyone. It's a very intimate Sunday today. And I would like to greet every father a happy Father's Day. So as we celebrate Father's Day today, we actually celebrate our Father in heaven, who has been eternally good and perfectly faithful and loving to us. Many times we forget who He is, and as a result, we forget His love, and we get anxious, and we drown in our fears and worries. In fact, this week, in my personal time with the Lord, He has been reminding me of the word faith. And in one of my devotions this week, one of the things that really struck me the most is forgetfulness is the root of fear. When we forget that we are loved so much with a perfect love by the Father, we tend to question His faithfulness and His provision and His sovereign control in our lives and in our future. But what's amazing is that in 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Amen? This verse points us to the one thing that overcomes fear. It's His perfect love. When we are reminded of how much God's perfect love is shown to us every day of our lives, we find peace within His provision. And we can trust Him with our future. We can rely on Him in life's uncertainties. And we can face the future with anticipation and faith and excitement, knowing that He is in full control of everything. And as a result, when we overcome fear, and when we remind ourselves of how much God loves us, we overflow with worship and praise. In fact, this is what the psalmist in Psalm 89 verse 1 sings about. The psalmist says, "I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens." What an amazing love. And so can we just pause for a while and just thank the Lord for His love? Perhaps you came here with a heart that's overwhelmed, and perhaps your heart is unrested or restless. Can we just calm our hearts right now? Remind yourselves of that perfect love displayed for us at the cross through Jesus. Thank Him. Confess to Him your fears. Surrender to Him your worries. And after that, I'm going to invite you to stand and just declare His amazing, eternal, steadfast love. So can we just pray? Father, we come to You with our hearts. You know each of our hearts more deeply than anyone does. We bless your name. We thank you for your love for us that is fixed and free and full. No matter what we do, it's unchanged. It's steadfast. Thank you that this love is that which overcomes any kind of anxiety or worry or fear. And because of that, Lord, you deserve to be worshipped. You deserve to be praised and lifted up and exalted in our midst. So I ask the Holy Spirit, minister to us in a fresh way. I ask that you would help us to see Jesus as we sing songs of praises and worship. I pray that you would align our hearts to who you are and minister to us in ways that only you can do. And so at this moment, I'm going to invite everyone to please stand.
Let's celebrate the love of God as we sing the first song, and we just clap our hands together and just declare the love of God is amazing and unchanging. song. And this song reminds us of what the author of Hebrews wrote. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and that's now seated in the right hand of the Father. And as we look to Jesus, we remind ourselves of that amazing love that was displayed for us at the cross. When we look to Jesus, we see the face of a gentle, sacrificing Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. So let's sing this song with faith in our hearts.
Forever, all the lips in the sky.
worthiness is unchanged no matter what we feel, no matter what we see. We know that you are at work. You are working a thousand different ways beyond what we can imagine. As we look at our lives, as we look at the world around us, may our hearts see faith, unmoved, knowing that you are a way maker. Your promises are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We can trust you no matter what. So as we sing this song, God, may our worship be a sweet smelling aroma. And may our hearts brim with faith. Thank you.
Battles you went through throughout this week, and I don't know how you view God right now as you experience those battles, but I think the songs that we've sang are reminding us who God is, that He is our way maker, He is the miracle worker, and He is the promise keeper. Even if we don't feel like He's working, He's always with us and He watches over us. When there's no one to turn to, we can turn to Him because He loves us and He cares for us. And I think the challenge for each one of us here is to really be still and know that He is God. To stop trusting ourselves, but start trusting on Him. To stop rehearsing and magnifying the problems, but start setting our eyes on Jesus. Who He is. And what He can do in and through our lives. So right at this moment, can we worship God in prayer? In the midst of that battle that you're going through right now, trust Him, worship Him, thank Him, be grateful to Him. He is God and He deserves all the praises, all the thanksgiving, all the honor. So let's come to God in prayer, thanking Him for who He is, what He has done, and what He can do in our lives. Father, we are so thankful for teaching us through the songs who You are. That You are God. You are a way maker. You are our promise keeper. That You are greater than anything that can come against us. That Your love is so fixed and so steadfast that nothing can separate us from You. I pray that in our times of doubt and uncertainties, help us to trust You. To trust Your word and Your promises. To still believe that You love us and cares for us because of what You've done on the cross, showing to us how perfect Your love is. And in response to everything that You've done, we want to surrender our lives to You as living sacrifices for Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, pwede na tamang lingkod? Alright, good morning, everyone. And happy Father's Day sa mga amahan diha o sa inyong amahan. Happy Father's Day. Now, I read a story of a woman who had finished her shopping. So, after sayang pag-shop, niyata din siya sayang car. And then, she found four men inside the car. And so na-shock siya. And iyang gibuhat kay she drew a small gun, kinaman siya a gun, and with a forceful voice, mingon siya, "I have a gun, and I know how to use it. Get out of the car." ang four men sa walay pagduha-duhan, igawa sila, nagdali-dali ang nagdagandagan. Anang kaning woman, nakulbaan kayo siya, but sa iyang gibuhat, nagdali po siya sulod siya sa car, gibutang niya yung mga groceries, and then she tried to insert yung key sa ignition, but sa kadugay, nga iyang pag-try, wala jud ni fit in. And then she later realized nang iha de gisud lang nga car is dili iya ha. Okay? Ang car is naka-park the I-5 or 4 spaces away. And then she realized what she had done. Okay? So yung gibuhat ni gawa siya, she look around finding the four men and wala niya makita and iyang gibuhat kay guilty kayo siya, so she immediately went to the police station. And there she found these four men, okay, reporting a car hijacking by a woman, and referring to this woman, so she explained herself, her side, and no charges were filed. Now, for the woman, she thought it was her car, but it really belonged to someone else. I think in terms of our money, the truth is God owns everything. We think it's ours, but it's God's in the first place. In Psalm 89, verse 11, it says, "The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them." So God owns everything in this world. Amen. God owns your life. If you are a Christian, He redeemed you and you belong to Him now. Everything that we have in us belongs to Him. And I believe this reality gives us a freedom more than we could ever imagine. Recognizing that God's own everything, including our money, frees us from the burden of worry and anxiety about our material needs. We can trust His provision, and we are sure that He can provide what we needed according to His plan. And recognizing that God owns everything frees us from this all about me mentality to all about Him mentality. If God blesses you with that blessing, like area of finances, He wants you to use that aligns sayang purposes for His kingdom advancement. And understanding that God is the ultimate owner of all our resources liberate us to give generously and sacrificially, knowing that it comes from Him in the first place. So in this time of giving, as we challenge you and encourage you to give, this is not you losing money, but it is you giving glory to God and experiencing the freedom that He wants you to experience. Freedom from worry, freedom from anxiety, from selfishness, materialism, and anything that hinders our relationship with God and relationship with one another. So this is an invitation for you as you give to really experience true freedom that God wants us to live for His glory. So if you want to give, ang details kay naara diha on screen, you can give online or naay envelope po diha, pwede rin mo ibutang ang money inside and then later ibutang rin mo sa giving box nato. All right? So let's pray as we give. Father, as we give, may we discover the immense joy and blessings in obeying you sa kining area sa among life. We give because you are the God who gives abundantly and generously for us. And everything comes from you in the first place. So, Lord, I believe there's a power in giving, that as we give, it will break the chains of materialism and selfishness in us, and enabling us to really live the true freedom that you want us to live. Freedom to live for you and freedom to live for other people for the sake of your kingdom expansion. I pray that in our obedience, make us more like Jesus. And may we start investing in the things that really matters, that has eternal significance, and let go of our worldly mga desires for your glory alone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so for our announcement, okay, by the way, if you want to give, you can do it now or you can do it later. Okay? So sa atong announcement, to those nga natapos na sa atong evangelism training, both the young professionals and sa mga youth, naatay important nga activity nga buhaton this afternoon, and that is to really to share the gospel sa mga tao sa P-Park. Naatay ginatawag nga, kanaan naman yung term, catching, right? Not just to really apply what you've learned, but to really have compassion and burden for the lost. So, naay activity, and please pray for us and with us, okay? And we encourage as well, you, ikaw, okay, nga naminaw karon, matag-usa sa ato, you can also join us and participate. I believe this call of making disciples is not just for the trained, or bago lang naman na train ng mga believers, but it's for all of us. So if you are available and willing to join Onya to share the gospel sa People's Park, then feel free, okay, to join and just participate in this call to make disciples. So that's our announcement for today. And can I request everybody to please rise? And let's continue to worship God. So before we receive God's word, I believe we have a responsibility to intentionally set our eyes, our minds, our hearts on Him. So let's sing this song prayerfully.
May this be our prayer today, church, to set our hearts on the Lord, to quiet the voices of doubt, and to let His word speak to us and be louder than our fears.
Set my heart, set my, set my. pray, Holy Spirit, right now, set our thoughts, set our affections, set everything in us to listen to your word. Enable us to be the people that you want us to be. Give us grace. Pour out your mercy upon us as we continually worship you in listening to your word preached to us. Empower us in Jesus' name. All glory and honor belongs to you alone. We ask it in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, Amen.
All right, good morning, everybody. All right, how are you? I think you're doing good. Happy Father's Day. I'm sorry I did not prepare a Father's Day message, but let's gonna dive into our series, okay? Our series is entitled, can we read it? Ready to begin? Faith and Work, and this is part one or week one of our series, Faith and Work. This is the title of the message is The Theology of Work. I know that is not very captivating, but it is what it is. The Theology of Work. Okay, so if you had your Bible, I want to read to you Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and until verse 31. Genesis chapter 1, that's the page 1 in the Bible. Okay, not necessarily the page 1, but it's the beginning part of the Bible. If you're not familiar with the Bible, I think you will be familiar with the first book of the Bible, Genesis, right? Kung matalang gyapon ka, pangitaan na lang ng table of contents, okay? Pinakauna na mo na Genesis, okay? Genesis chapter 1. I want to read verse 26 to you. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." Verse 30. "And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the bread of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Now, kining passage nga itong gibasa, dili ni maujud ang sole basis of the message today, this will be a passage that would set up the whole series. Okay? So I'm not gonna expound the passage that we will be reading. We're gonna look at selected scripture, various scripture today throughout your Bible. So I hope you bring your Bible and we're gonna open a lot of scripture. Because since the title of message is what? The Theology of Work. So we're gonna look at a lot of verses dealing with work. Now, work, if we are honest, is not an interesting subject. I don't believe that you wake up this morning very excited this Sunday because, wow, I can't wait for the launching of this series called Faith and Work. I don't believe that. Because somehow deep within us, I think this is not so interesting subject. Maybe some of you may go, pwede dilita mag-talk about work because di ka nagani ko Friday. You know, Monday to Friday, you think of work, and this is weekend, this is rest day. I don't want to even think about work. But if you're a follower of Christ, we are called to follow Him in all areas of life, not just on Sunday. And if we are reflective enough to think about our life, most of our life are actually spent in what we do in our workplace. And if following Jesus and our commitment to Jesus should affect every area of our life, as the scripture says, it should, right? Then it should affect the way we work, right? Should affect how we view our job, how we view our work. And the question is, do we know as a Christians how to integrate, how to be what God's called us to be in terms of our work? Because we're going to spend half of our waking hours over the next 40 years of our life in our workplace. Imagine that. Spending half of your waking hours over the next 40 or 50. Okay? Kung dili ka kailangan mo retire, you know, 40, 50, 60. Okay? Years of your life working. And so in order for us to honor God effectively, to shine like stars in the dark place, we need to know what the Bible says about work. Because we're called to honor God not just on Sunday. We're called to worship God every day. And we need to connect Sunday to Monday. And sometimes many Christians view their work as just mundane, just menial, and they don't do it with excitement as God called us to be. And so we need to rethink how we think about work, because we want to honor God in everything that we do. Now today, the reason why this message is very important, because there is an overemphasis on rest and Sabbath today at the expense of providing a proper biblical view of work. Mostly, ang mga books na na-published today are about doing rest, having Sabbath, and kung also na kayo, Gen Z or millennial, they're very interested about reading these books. You know, some will ask, have you read the latest rest book? Okay, have you read unsa ka importante ang rest or naay whatever article or blog article or teaching about rest and Sabbath? And I am aware that we need that. Okay, and we're gonna talk about that in this series as well. But if imo overemphasize ang usa ka topic and usa ka theme without giving a proper context, there is an unhealthy imbalance about that. Okay? And we need to avoid a two ditches regarding the topic of this, okay? Kinala nato we avoid. When we don't have a proper biblical view about work, naay duwa ka extreme, naay duwa ka dili maayo nga naay tendency to fall into. Imagine walking in a road. Sa road, usually, na iduwa ka kanal, ditch, right? And imagine ka practice pa kag-bike, okay? And if dili ka kabalo mo balance, and if dili ka kabalo mo ride sa bike, either you fall into the ditch, right? Or in this kind of ditch. Regarding work, if we don't have a proper biblical perspective about work, either we fall into the ditch of laziness, or either we fall into the ditch of workaholism. That's not good. And that's not what God intended us to be. Either you fall in workaholism, but pasibutani, wala na kay time to do some things that are important because your life is surrounded by work. You have meeting after meetings, you're overscheduled, you're stressed, and nakakaraming ka, pastor, mo dyan na, stress you go. Workaholism, okay? And the other extreme is laziness. You just don't care about your work. You don't like your work. You're bored. In fact, sige ka late sa imong work. And kumuado ka sa imong work, usahay, maglando-lando pa ka sa Facebook instead of really working. So either we fall in these two extremes if we don't have a proper biblical theology of work. Are you with me? Okay ra? Okay. Dili kay exciting nga subject. But listen, my concern, as I observe nowadays, is I believe this workaholism is real. I believe people are stressed out. But I also believe that most of our stress does not come from really overworking. Most of our stress stems up sometimes from not really working as we should. Sometimes we are tired. It's because we mindlessly scroll or binge television. Many people are tired. Maybe many people even are not set their heart to listen to the Sunday message because they spend so much time in the media, in the social media, and when they listen to a sermon, they're tired. They're not prepared. As we sing the song, Set My Heart, it's a struggle to set your heart. And that's a very dangerous part That's a sign of laziness. In fact, on a side note, let me tell you an average statistic. The average person scrolls the social media or peruses Netflix, Disney Plus, or Prime, whatever your weapon of choice, you know, at least 7 hours a day. That's 2,500 hours a year. In the next 4 years, example, you spend a total of 1 year scrolling and binging, looking like this or looking like this. Now, we need to recognize this reality. This is the reality we're living in right now. People in the 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 60 years ago, that is not struggling with this. But this is a reality that we need to recognize right now, that sometimes we are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. Then it really affects us as a Christian. And we cannot impact our world for Jesus if we are addicted to distractions. Because if we're addicted to distraction, we can no longer put this quality of work. And we tend to be lazy. We tend to be distracted. And we tend to look for stimulants and not be doing a good job. And so this is a reality that we need to be aware of. We cannot impact the world for Jesus, as Jesus calls us, if we are addicted to our phones, to television. There's nothing wrong with having phones. There's nothing wrong with social media. There's nothing wrong with Netflix. But there's nothing wrong about But there's something wrong about pursuing it to the expense of some important things. And so my point is that we have a high view of entertainment today and we have a low view of biblical work today. And if you're going to make a difference in a world, if you're going to take the gospel to our family, to our campuses, and to our community, then we as believers must know how to connect our faith and work. And we must learn how to avoid falling either into these ditches. Because that's not what God has intended us for to do. God wants us to have a biblical vision of our work. And we need to align our perspective on our job with God's perspective. We must understand that Sunday is not isolated to Monday. Rather, Sunday is connected to Monday. The reason God gave you Sunday is because it is for Monday. That's a metaphor. Kung dili Monday mo trabaho, sugod mo trabaho, metaphor na, ha? Ay na literal. Dili man Monday akong trabaho. So, okay. It's a metaphor. That worship should be connected to our work. Okay? We come to Sunday to be refreshed, reminded, refueled, so that we can be the best worker God calls us to be. Amen? That's the goal. And we need to do, in order to do that, in order to honor God with our job, in order to honor God with our calling, with our vocation, with whatever you do right now, you need to have a biblical perspective about work. Because either ang atong perspective sa itong trabaho is sa culture. Because the culture will tell us, "Uy, trabaho ka, kakinahanglan magtrabaho para naatay, kuan, pambayad sa mga bayro nun," you know? Sometimes mora to itong perspective sa work. Kinalan siya magtrabaho kay para mo asin siya tas kinabuhi para sa akong family. Sometimes limited ra. Inga na ato ang perspective sa work. Work, as we will see later on, is more than that. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you don't embrace this low view of work. There's a higher view of work that God is inviting us to know, to understand, and to embrace. So are you ready? That's why maminaw ka, dili ka matulog, okay? Okay, I'm gonna look at four aspects or elements about work. We're going to look at first work's designer, if you're taking notes. Then we're going to look at work's design. Then we're going to look at work's distortion. And then lastly, we're going to look at work's dimension, new dimension. Okay? WD na tanan. Okay? First, work's designer. We're going to look at work's designer. Okay, theology mani, let's going to look at work's designer. Now, Dallas Willard, a well-known Christian philosopher, was asked how he would describe Jesus' life and ministry in one word. Now, that's a very important question. If someone will ask you, could you describe with me in one word the ministry and the life of Jesus? Think about your answer. How would you answer that question? Very interestingly, kining a philosopher, and I appreciate him. I learned so much from him as well. He has very good books to read as well. And his answer was kind of surprising because he said one word to describe the life and ministry of Jesus, and he uses the word relax. Okay? He described that Jesus has this kind of unhurried life. And interruptibility in his way of life. And I would agree partly by that assessment that in a sense, there is a tenderness and compassion we see oozing in the life of Jesus. Makita name of Jesus tender. Jesus is ma-interrupt siya. Dili siya paniki. Dili siya stressful. He's relaxed. But for me, that is not an appropriate word really to capture holistically the life and ministry of Jesus. For me, there's a little bit danger of using the word relax to describe totally the life and ministry of our Lord. Because it ignores a lot of biblical emphasis as well if you're reading the scripture. The scripture emphasizes something more than Jesus being relaxed. In fact, if you read the Gospel of Mark, one of the phrases that you will encounter is the word immediately. Kung basahon nimo ang Gospel of Mark, ginabalik-balik ni Mark kining a word immediately. In fact, in the whole New Testament, this word is repeated 51 times. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, it is repeated, it's repeated 41 times. And what Mark is telling us that Jesus is not a relaxed kind of God. He is not spending his time in the beach of Galilee resting under an umbrella or sleeping in a hammock. I believe he is relaxed in the sense he's not panicking because God is in control. But he is not relaxed in terms of working because Jesus is a hard worker. So relax doesn't capture everything that Jesus is doing on this earth. And I want you to understand, if we are going to know theology of work, we must first understand and we must first know that the God that we worship, the God that we pray to, the God that we sing to is a God who is a worker. God is a God who works. We need to understand that. In fact, John chapter 9 verse 4, if you have your Bible, John chapter 9 verse 4. Jesus says, okay, in John chapter 9, verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus is driven to work. In John chapter 4, verse 34, previous verses, previous chapter, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus is so committed in doing the assignment that the Father has given him. That is his focus. In John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus answered them. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, my Father is working right now, until now, and I am working. God is a God of work. We sing a song. He never stopped working. God is a God who works. And if we're going to understand biblical theology of work, then we must first understand that God is a God of work. God is a God of work. Since Jesus is the perfect image of God, let's look at his life. Let's ponder him. He was a teacher. Jesus was a teacher for 3 years. And he was a carpenter for 20 years. He has been working and Jesus has been working hard. His hands were not soft. They were full of calluses. Kubal. They were splintered. They were hardened by years of intense labor under the sun. Jesus, in whom all the fullness of deity dwells, represents to us that God is not relaxing, but he is working. That's how page one in the Bible opens. Humans are not the first worker. When you read Genesis 1, you don't see humans working. You see God working. In the beginning, it's the word, God. What is God doing? In the beginning, God is relaxing. No. God is creating. You know? Organizing, ordering, producing something. God is a working God. And God is inviting us as well to embrace that perspective. Okay? God is a working God. He works right now as he sustains and upholds the universe with his sovereign. God is working right now in his providential grace. God is working right now as he's channeling the hearts of kings and kingdoms to his divine purposes in the nations and the world around us, in different countries and in different authorities around us. God is working as he's answering prayers throughout the earth. God has worked in Jesus to accomplish our salvation so that we don't have to work our salvation. Amen? The reason ng salvation is dili by our works is because God has finished the work through His Son, Jesus. That's why salvation is free, because somebody worked hard for you. And you don't put your work into that work because that work is already perfect. That work of redemption, that work of forgiveness, that work of reconciliation back to the Father is a perfect work that Jesus has done for us. God works in incarnation of Jesus. Jesus worked through teaching and healing and ministering to people. He is working right now to, in fact, in John chapter 14, the Bible says He's working right now to prepare a place for His disciples, for us. He would go to prepare a place for us, and He's preparing for us a place of glory. He is a carpenter. He's like building something for us in the future kingdom. When we look at the Spirit of God, when we look at the Father, we look at the Son, and we look at the Spirit of God, we see this triune God working. Look at the Spirit. The Spirit of God is working as He, in Genesis chapter 1, as He hover all things in creation, bringing life. He's the agent of God's creation. Why there are trees and mountains and nature that is beautiful around us. He is this emanating power of life source. The Spirit is working as He is opening hearts right now, turning them from the heart of stone to a heart of flesh. The agent of the one who helps you trust the Lord so that you become born again as you are today and you love Jesus and you love the Bible and you love to listen to the sermon. That is not you alone. It's the work of the Spirit in you. God is working. Spirit is working. As we pray, He works. As we intercede with groanings that cannot be uttered, sometimes the Spirit is helping us. See, God is a working God. The Father works. The Son accomplished the work. The Spirit is working. They are working. God is a working God. If we understand theology of work, we need first to understand that God is a working God, holding, maintaining, conserving, and arranging and directing all things in the universe to accomplish His plan for His glory. He never sleeps. He never slumber. He works. Amen? Man, He works. Even you think He's silent, He works. That's the first point. The works designer. Second point, the works design. Okay? We need first to understand what is the design, what is the intention, what is the purpose of God regarding our work. So turn with me to the first page of the Bible, sa akong taong gibasa gayon in verse 26. I want to read it again. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have, what's the word? Dominion, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. What's the repeated word? What's the ginabalik-balik na word? Alam mo ka bantay, no? Over. Over kay mo ba? Over, di ba? Kapila diya, dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps. And verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. In other words, He created humankind. Humankind is two, male and female. And this both maleness and femaleness completes the image of God. Okay? Verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Mo ni paborito sa mga Pinoy, okay? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Now, here's the word again. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves the earth. Now, let me summarize what is happening here. What is happening here is God works to create a perfect world, a beautiful Edenic state, okay? Beautiful place. I don't know how you imagine the Garden of Eden. For me, I imagine the Garden of Eden as there's a waterfall, there's greenery, there's a backdrop of mountain, there's fruit trees like apple, oranges, there's a lion, there's a tiger, and there's Timon and Pumbaa singing Hakuna Matata, okay? That's just me. That's my imagination of the Garden of Eden. And what did God, as he finished the work of creation, He created man in His own image. And after He created man, the first thing that God did is give them assignment. give them a job description. Now, if I'm applying for a job, I usually Google and usually look at the job application. And usually, I look at specifically the job description kasi dili na ako kaya. Imagine the first human job, the first human job description. What is the first human job description? Hey, Adam, hey, what is your job description? I rule the earth. Because that's what God says. Have dominion, subdue, rule over every creation that God created. That's the job description of a human. That's what it means to be image bearer. To bear the image of God means to rule the earth for His glory. Okay? And so, in order to accomplish that assignment, dili nila mabuhit sila rin ni dua, the male and the female, Adam and Eve. Dili nila mabuhit. And that's why God said, they need to be fruitful and multiply. They cannot do it alone. They need to build other humans, families, communities, and cities, and to fill this earth with image bearer that will subdue all creation. That's the design. That's the blueprint. That's the vision of work. And so, what's your point? My point is this, that you and I are designed by God to work. We are wired by God to work. God's will for us is to work, not to sleep a lot. Okay? God's will for us is to have a job and to do that job with the best energy that we have from God. That's the will of God for us. That's why we feel inward emptiness when we don't have something to do. Mayon daw, oh, I cannot wait, Pastor. Mo-retire ko. Wala na dyan ko'y trabaho. My goodness, the people who retire doesn't have work are empty. Why? Because you are created as human being to work. That's what it means to be human, to work. That's how God designed us to be. That's why during COVID, katong wala kay trabaho, it brings out the worst in you rather than the best in you. Diba? Magtanga ka, wala kay trabaho, nara ka sa balay, and you waste time rather than, and you feel, kung wala kay trabaho, you disrespect yourself. You have this emptiness. Kung wala, lain kay mong paminaw. Work is very important because God wired us to work. We are called to work. And because of this truth, we can see that idleness and laziness is utterly sinful and ungodly and dehumanizing. Very dehumanizing. Kung wala kay trabaho. That's why, katong mga tao nga, makita di mo gani, kanang dili sila able to work, disabled sila, naa sila something wrong, they struggle with that. Because they want to work. And kung able ka, healthy ka, kunya sige ra kag katulog, sige ra kag dulag ML o sige ra kag you know whatever imong ginausang sayang ng oras ug panahon sa iyang kinabuhi, you will not love yourself, you will be empty, you will hate yourself, you struggle with insecurity because you know you're not productive, you know you're doing the wrong things, you know you should be like this but you are like that. There's a struggle because you are created to work. We are image bearer to produce, to bring order out of chaos, to bring beauty out of the raw material that God has given to us. That's what it means to be human. We work as image bearer of God. Okay? The command to be fruitful, labor, we need to understand that labor is part of the dignity that we have as image bearer of God. Any work is dignified. Whether leading a company or changing a diaper, it's the same. It's dignified before God. Whether designing a graphic design in Canva or digging a ditch somewhere in Catalonan Grande, it's honoring and dignified before God. That's what it means to work as an image bearer of God. The command to be fruitful and multiply, by the way, is not addressed to the plants and animals. God did not say to the plants, be fruitful and multiply. God did not say to the